Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God which we lay upon our hearts this evening is from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So far the word of God. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. What will you leave for your children? If you knew that you were going to die soon and your kids were gathered around your bed, what would you give them? Things or words or blessing? This last Tuesday at the Women of Faith meeting, we heard about a lady, and we don't know her name, but we're just going to call her Susan to make it easier. We heard about a lady we'll call Susan who knew that she was going to die soon, and she was concerned, she was worried that after her death, her family would fall apart. Her kids would get busy with their own family and their own lives, and they would forget to take time to talk to one another and come back together. And so she left very specific instructions with regard to her burial. She said that her body was to be cremated and her ashes divided into four different urns. And each urn was supposed to be taken separately by the entire family to a certain place she designated and spread there. In this way, she hoped that at least for the next 4 years, they would be forced to take time out of their lives to come together, to remember her, and to be united in that memory of her and her love. The night before Jesus was to die, he had similar thoughts. He knew that his disciples had so far been united by his power and his love. He knew that Satan was waiting for his death. His desire was to separate them and to cause fights. He knew the prophecy from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." He was worried what would happen to the disciples after his death. And so he instituted the Lord's Supper. It was his desire that his disciples should continue on a regular basis to come together, to remember his death, to be united in fellowship, in the eating and drinking, to be united in his love and in the memory of him. And he put into that Lord's Supper the same power, the same love that had kept them united so far and kept them safe from Satan so that they may continue to grow as one. Christ knew that if his church was to last for the thousands of years until he comes again, they needed to be firmly united. And he knew that it was only his power and his love that could do it. And so he gave to them and to us, as an inheritance for all time, the Lord's Supper, to be a remembrance of him, to be the power which unites us. One wonders what happened to Susan's wishes. One wonders whether the children actually fulfilled those instructions as she had laid them out in the way that she meant them to be. maybe the first trip they made together. But the next year, one can easily imagine how one or two of the kids couldn't make it. Too busy with work or with school or with soccer practice. And maybe the next year, one or two more. Or maybe they tried to find a time that would work for everyone and they just couldn't find a time, and so they kept putting it off and putting it off until eventually they never got around to it. We wonder whether, and that's what I said before was a true story, we don't know whether her kids actually fulfilled her wishes. But we don't have to wonder about the Lord's Supper. We know how quickly the disciples forgot. How quickly they forgot the meaning of that special inheritance. How quickly they forgot to recognize and cherish what it was the Lord had given to them. For Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11:18, he says, "When you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you." And continuing with verse 20, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one of you takes his own supper ahead of the others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." What God had meant to unite them, they used to create division. Each one grabbing what he wanted and making sure he got his part ahead of the others. What God meant to be in remembrance of him, they turned into a fulfillment of the desires of this life and of their flesh. I wonder what Paul would say to us if he was still alive to write about our remembrance of the Lord's Supper. I know for myself, my attitude tends to slip more towards that of the men from the parable of the wedding feast. You remember the parable of the wedding feast? The king sent out the invitations, inviting everyone to this marvelous banquet, this wonderful supper that he had prepared for them, the festival of his son's marriage, and they all wrote back with excuses. "We're too busy with our farm. We're too busy with, well, my daughter's getting married soon. We got to worry about that. Too busy with this or with that or the other thing." How often don't we make excuses like Susan's kids might have, like the men in the wedding feast definitely did, excuses for putting off, for delaying, for not really caring about this wonderful inheritance that the Lord has given to us. And even when we do come, do we really take the time to make it about his memory? Or do we just get it over with? Something to check off our list for the week so we can get back home. Christ gave the Lord's Supper as an inheritance to the church for all time, so that we would regularly take time out of our lives and dedicate it to the memory of him, and through the love and the power which he poured into this supper, grow in unity to him and to one another. Remember what we've been learning about the word remember in Scripture. Remember, it is an action word, that when God remembers, he is doing something for his people. And here also then, his power is at work. He remembers us in his supper. His power is at work within us through this supper to cause us to remember his death, to unite us to himself. The Lord's Supper is a memorial of his death. It is a remembrance of him, but it is also God's power in action in our lives to bring life to us who are dead in our selfishness. So we ought to more than ought to. We need to remember and to rejoice in this inheritance that we have received, no matter if it is something we receive once a month or once a week or four times a week. It doesn't matter. What matters is that when we have the opportunity, we rejoice and remember what it is. For I have passed on to you, Paul says, for I have passed on to you that which was also given to me. Take and eat. This is my body and my blood given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, we remember what great love that God is acting in our lives in this supper. First of all, in the memory of Christ's death, we see our sin, as it is written, do this in remembrance of me. Second of all, by the power of his blood, we receive his forgiveness, as it is written, for you, given and shed for you. A forgiveness that is specific and direct and personal. And thirdly, with his true presence, with the true presence of his body and blood, we are united to him and one another, as it is written, this is my body, this is my blood. This is our inheritance, now and forever. We do it in remembrance of him. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.